Let's return to the Boomer Planners on Talk Zone. Once again, here are your hosts, Thomas Lee, Howard Hafetz, and David Abrams.
Welcome back to the show. I was talking during the break about a particular situation that I came across. David, you'll understand and have better insights to this than most people. I had an adult friend of mine whose mother was in a hospital at UCLA after a stroke. She was recovering. She was there for 2 weeks in the ICU, and the billing that they received, although they didn't have to pay it because it was sent to Medicare, was $400,000.
Well, that just reinforces that survey that was written up in that New York Times column that I mentioned to you, that the astronomical costs that are applied to the last 6 months to perhaps a year of someone's life, it is the largest percentage of Medicare goes for that time. And then is that really the right way that any individual should spend their money? Is that really the way that we as a society want to spend our money? I remember when we were first talking about this, some of the things we wanted to talk about on this show, although I used just before the break the teaser word of rationing. It really is thoughtful care. There's a book that I read, and I commend it, by Dennis McCullough, physician at Dartmouth, at a place called the Kendall at Hanover, a long-term care facility. It's called My Mother, Your Mother. It talks about what he describes as what's called slow medicine. Well, it's not really slow medicine, is if you can quite understand people just moving slowly. What it is making rational decisions before incidents happen of how you want to be cared for. Do you want to wind up in an ICU with broken ribs, with cardiac resuscitation, going off to a nursing home to get physical therapy only to come back with pneumonia? Or do you want to just be at home, and do you want to have your care taken in your familiar surroundings, which is way better? There's no doubt that when you spend time in a hospital, you're going to wind up shortening your life, not necessarily prolonging your life. And, you know, there's no one restricting it now, but if you think about this in advance, you might be able to avoid a lot of not only expense, but aggravation. Tom?
Yeah, David, that raises an interesting point. During the course of our years in practice, I've repeatedly spoken to folks about their durable health care document. In that document, and sometimes it's a separate standalone document in some states, it's generally referred to as a living will. In these documents, folks are asked the question whether or not, if they had for instance, if their heart stopped or stopped breathing, what have you, do they want to be resuscitated? And I don't remember the last time I spoke to somebody who wanted to be resuscitated and had their life extended, even though it was completely futile to try it. And I really think that that has to do a lot with what you're talking about rationing or conserving the resources that are available.
Well, then, you know, that has happened. It's happened in your experience. It's happened to patients of mine. You know, I happen to have been very, very lucky that my father and mother planned all these things. My father and mother had everything explicitly written of what they wanted. My mother was cared for by my father, and then my father had his express wills, express intents of what would be taken. He would have taken care of for him. And my brother and I, although it was, you know, can't we do more? Can't we? We just followed the instructions that were really explicitly written down by my father, and it made it a much more easy and pleasant way. He was able to die at home, and we were able to be there with him, and it was, while sad, it was way better than what would have happened in a hospital.
And once again, to coordinate all of our various disciplines, to do it the right way, to have someone's wishes taken care of, ultimately in their last days or last years, and sometimes those last years, I know personally, I have a mom in a nursing home. God love her, she's 87 years old. She's a youngster in that nursing home. The average age, I believe, is about 89 or 90, with many people well over 95 years old. We do a real good job of keeping people alive. One of the issues that comes into play with doing it the right way, if you take care of it legally, properly, and you have the proper documents, and you are in a position where medically you could do what you want to do, there is a huge cost to that, huge cost. And if you have the proper insurance planning in place, in addition to the legal planning and medical planning, it makes it all feasible.
Well, the financial planning is critical, and I'm glad that you're kind of giving us more information about how to do it. The legal planning is critical, because that's really the only way sometimes I can see families that I care for getting through the disputes, which can come about when there's some vagueness of intent and the legal documents aren't quite as carefully spelled out. But I got a call from a friend of mine when he was listening to the show. He's a doctor in upstate New York, and he said he thought that the show was kind of a downer. I thought we ought to liven it up a little bit. Today's topic has been somewhat somber, but not that I can make a joke about it in any way at all, but to have somewhat of a positive result is I think that you can do things, and the things that Howard and Tom have talked about can do things to help you. And if you can't really figure these things out yourself for the elder care, there are geriatric managers. This is a group of people who have been specially trained in how to take care of the social, not necessarily the medical side of elderly people. There are ways through the internet to locate geriatric managers. There's a National Association of Geriatric Managers that can be researched on the internet. And in the final analysis, you really need a professional, and I've said this before, you need a professional to help you get through these difficult times. And it is something that you can deal with. It is something, if you plan for, won't overwhelm you. And I have experienced it with my patients, and it is avoidable.
David, I believe that there is, I have heard, I don't have any personal knowledge of this, but one of the bright sides of being in a nursing home is that you get to meet new people every day.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, that may be a bit more than what that friend of mine was asking for. But
before we close this week's show, I do want to bring up one important area, and that is mortgage problems. People are calling my office. You read about it throughout the news and the internet. People having foreclosure issues. They're late on their payments. Their loan has reset. And I want to just give you one bit of information that is extremely valuable. This is called the Hope Now program. Hope Now. You can call those folks for free service at 1-888-995-HOPE. So they have a variety of services available to walk you through the solutions that are existing out there right now. There are solutions, but you need to jump on them. We need to wrap up the show at this point. I want to thank everybody for listening. We had some really interesting items and issues. Once again, if you have any questions, please call us at 888-463-6748 or email us at tlee@theboomerplanners.com. Hang in there, folks. There are solutions no matter what the problems. We'll see you next week. Take care.